listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Maternal RX Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Danielle Plummer. Super excited today to have with me Jessica Beal-Stahl. Jessica is a community pharmacist with a passion for wellness and clinical sports pharmacist with a focus on the female athlete. She received her Doctor of Pharmacy from Mercer University in 2009. She also has been practicing at an independent community pharmacy, Hobbs Pharmacy, where she serves as Director of Clinical Services, focusing on wellness, hormones, and genetics. In 2019, she founded the Athlete's Pharmacist, where she practices as a clinical sports pharmacist, consulting with athletes, teams, and organizations. Dr. Beal-Stahl's passion lies in helping athletes of all levels bridge the gap between conventional medicine and integrative and functional medicine, using skills and knowledge to improve and optimize sports and human performance by looking at all pieces of the athlete, from nutrition, sleep, mindset, supplements, medications, and recovery. Jessica knows what it's like to be a high-level athlete, played D1 volleyball, medaled nationally and internationally in Olympic weightlifting, and at 41 years old, set a world record in Olympic weightlifting for a snatch in her age group and weight class, and recently placed third in the world championship. She is involved in growing sports pharmacy and serves as vice president for the Sports Pharmacy Network, the United States Sports Pharmacy Group Advisory Board, and Who We Played For's Medical Board. She also has additional certifications in integrative medicine, women's hormones, nutrigenomics, Olympic weightlifting coach, and sports nutrition certificates. Wow, Jessica.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you here, really. And I know I say this every time I talk to somebody, but you and I were just discussing briefly because we've met virtually, but never really got to, it was just through conversations and never met and had real conversations in life here. And you're touching on something, you've been touching on something for a long time that I have never heard discussed, and that's pregnancy and athleticism.
Yes, yes. Right? I think it's a conversation that many people kind of shy away from. Nobody really knows how to address it or how to talk about it. They kind of look at most of the athletes when they're pregnant and go, oh, she's pregnant. That's maybe for a professional athlete, that's the end of their career. Thankfully, so many athletes have demonstrated that that is not the case. But I know a lot of patients that I see, providers just don't know. They're like, oh, stop lifting weight, stop doing all this. And that takes a huge toll on the patient, the pregnant mom, mentally and physically and everything. So I think it's a conversation that we need to definitely have, that, you know, you can still be an athlete and be pregnant.
I want to pause on that. You can still be an athlete
and
pregnant, right? I just saw a documentary on Serena Williams and how difficult, even being so famous and so accomplished, she didn't become famous by sitting on the sidelines. She became famous by extremely hard work and a lot of talent and grit and determination and support, becoming pregnant. What happens if you tell an athlete, anyone, their doctor, their significant other, their community says, oh, you're pregnant now, stop working?
Like I've seen it in many, many athletes. Most of them pretty much grind their heels in and say, what can I do? Like for everybody, I think exercise is more than just weight loss. Most people think exercise and they think weight loss. Exercise has so many more benefits metabolically, emotionally, physically, mentally. There's so much to exercise, and trying to take an athlete that has been an athlete their whole life, or just has this routine of like, you go to the gym, you see your community, you do it for how it makes you feel, for the endorphins, for the mental health aspect, and telling them to just stop and sit for 9 months is I think just an injustice to the person, because you're taking away community, mental health, you're taking away so much more, and they need that physical aspect. So many people don't realize, like I said, there's more than just weight loss for exercise.
Absolutely. And you've studied and are certified in functional medicine, integrative medicine. You understand hormone regulation, nutrigenomics, right? So you have, well, for all of us, right? The fundamentals that make us healthy are our nutrition, our sleep, our exercise.
Yes.
So what happens now? You have somebody that not only exercises like a normal healthy person, but an athlete at a high level, and take that away. Absolutely. The detriment is just right. Not good. So who would they talk to then to say, what is a safe level of exercise while I'm pregnant?
I think a lot of it is having to find I know there's some PTs that work specifically with pregnancy to help making sure they modify. There are OBGYNs that are very into helping keep their athletes and their patients moving throughout their pregnancy and seeing those. And it may be involved in seeing a different OBGYN sometimes, or having that conversation of, listen, this is what I've been doing. I need to do this. How can we meet in the middle? What is safe for me? I know at some point I have a couple like CrossFit athletes, and at some point they'll say, hey, stop doing handstands at like 39 weeks pregnant or whatever it is. They're like, stop doing that. Like, there are some things that you may need to modify. But the fact of keeping up that routine and keeping your muscles strong and keeping your mind strong is so critical to having a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you mentioned the PT for pregnancy. This is something that now I'm hearing more and more and more about.
Yeah.
There's such benefit to this, but you want to find the right physical therapist to do so. Where I specialize working with pregnant women who have extreme sickness or on bed rest, they can't get out of bed. There's actually physical therapy they can do, to at least some isometric exercises, to not have muscle wasting happen. And that comes to play with our IV medications. If you don't have a muscle, you can't do IM, right? So how are you going to get your medications down? And then on the other extreme, you have these super athletes. I had the fortune of meeting some of them recently, and the stories you hear, it's quite profound, because the topic hasn't been spoken about. So I want to take it back a step. You've come across something, another topic I think until a few years ago hadn't heard about a lot about, and now I'm hearing more and more and more. And now you're tying this in to athletes, PCOS, so polycystic ovary syndrome. What are you seeing with PCOS at an athletes who are trying to become pregnant?
Yeah. So if we're going a little bit on PCOS, obviously most people are believing, or the data is showing, that it's pretty much underdiagnosed in the US. The number is about 1 in 10 people they think have PCOS, but it could be much higher because of just underdiagnosis. But one thing that they kind of have shown in some studies is that there's a much higher rate of PCOS in athletes, specifically strength athletes. So if we're looking at PCOS, we have to think PCOS has ovarian dysfunction, it has polycystic ovaries, and it also has hormone imbalances, but the hormone is actually excess androgen. So if we go back to a little bit, excess androgen helps us produce muscle a little bit better. So that is why they think that you might find a higher level of PCOS athletes in strength sports, because they have this excess androgen that allows them to build muscle a little bit better than just a regular person. So finding the good part is exercise is one of the best medicines for PCOS. So having an athlete with PCOS has so many benefits, but there's a lot of negatives with PCOS. So finding a positive that you may be really good at strength sports is always a plus. So look for the silver lining.
So if we're looking at PCOS in a mom or potential mom, a woman who wants to become pregnant, what strategies would you tell them? Where do you begin with this? Because like you said, you want to continue exercising.
So
what can you do?
So I guess let's maybe lay a little foundation in case someone's not familiar with PCOS. Obviously, high androgen. The other thing that you see a lot in PCOS is high insulin levels. And then you see ovarian dysfunction. So you may or may not have ovulation, and you may have polycystic ovaries or not ovulating well or quality eggs. So you do see also low progesterone. So obviously we know we need progesterone to maintain pregnancy. So this combination of these hormone dysfunctions or imbalances can make pregnancy very, very difficult for a lot of PCOS patients. And both getting pregnant and maintaining a pregnancy. So one of the best medicines for PCOS is exercise, because it can help both reduce the insulin insulin resistance. And that in turn helps with decreasing the testosterone, which if you look at kind of like a graph of it, it's a nice unfortunate circle that one feeds the other and they keep going around.
I like the visual. I'm a very visual person too.
I am right? too.
So if somebody comes into your pharmacy and says, I've been diagnosed with PCOS, actually, let's take it back a step sooner. I'm having trouble getting pregnant. I'm an athlete.
Yeah.
Would you say get checked out, talk to your doctor about this?
Yeah. So usually if I have an athlete that is having trouble with pregnancy, or has maybe miscarried early in pregnancy, usually I ask them to talk to their doctor, see if we can get some labs. We like to look at testosterone level. Fasting insulin level can be very eye-opening to see how their insulin resistance is. And then we also look at some of the hormones, especially progesterone, and see if there is an underlying level of PCOS. PCOS is a syndrome, so not every patient presents identical, which can be very, very difficult. And it also can change with the patient throughout their age. So if they're younger, they may have certain symptoms. As they get older, new symptoms may come up and the younger ones go away. So it's one of these very ambiguous things that is very hard to diagnose. So that's why I think it's overlooked so much.
What type of symptoms would a woman be experiencing that would trigger this? Hey, maybe I have this.
So you usually see weight gain, or just larger, more heavier set women tend to be PCOS, but that does not necessarily mean it. You may have a lot of either no menses. You may have extended periods of your cycle, so over 35 days. You also may have really heavy bleeding. So those are pretty much some of the signs. And then you also have the signs of excess androgens. So that could be facial hair growth, balding, even in some women, male pattern baldness, excess acne are some of the bigger signs.
And as you mentioned, it's a syndrome, right? So a lot of these overlap with other disease states as well.
Yeah, you see it underdiagnosed, especially in young athletes or young youth, because all those symptoms tend to be signs of puberty also. So it's what's going on? So they usually wait a little bit till diagnosis. And most of the time it usually starts with women in their late teens to their 20s. When they start trying to get pregnant, they start noticing more PCOS.
What you would look at as far as, is there imaging that can be done, or what other testing to get a diagnosis?
So they used to look at ultrasound, and in the new guidelines that came out September, I believe, they actually took away the diagnosis of having to have an ultrasound because they said it was unreliable. There's a new lab that they were looking at. It basically looks at the lab level is measuring the quality of eggs and follicles. So if you have more eggs and follicles, so cysts and multiple eggs being produced, you're going to have a higher level than you anticipate for your age bracket. So that is actually a new lab in the newest guidelines where they don't do ultrasound anymore.
You just have me thinking, is there a association that the doctors would follow the guidelines? How would you know what guidelines to follow for PCOS?
I like them because they were very in kind of the wheelhouse of wellness. So they did come out and say that every patient with PCOS should have lifestyle and nutrition counseling, which I was yay. They also said there was, it was interesting, there's no specific diet or exercise that they recommend, that all of them have shown some benefits and none of them have been overly positive compared to others. But they also went in depth in the new guidelines that came out and said that there does exist weight bias in the medical field for patients with PCOS, that you do need to screen all PCOS patients for mental health conditions, eating disorders, and also that they came out and said they're at a high risk for high risk pregnancy.
And did they define high risk pregnancy? You're certified in functional medicine. What would the functional medicine pharmacist say about this?
So I'm a big proponent of obviously not restricting a complete food group, but being conscious. I usually go with making sure you get enough protein. You need the muscle. And making sure you still get carbohydrates. But I always tell most of my PCOS patients, because there's this insulin resistance, trying to always pair a carbohydrate with a fat or a protein. So I usually say no naked carbs, so that you have them with, like, make sure if you're going to have like apples, put it with, you know, peanut butter or cheese or something, or if you're going to have fruit, add it with Greek yogurt, but don't do carbohydrates naked. But usually that kind of helps with getting them thinking about controlling blood sugar, especially again, insulin resistance, to help lower that. And that would help with lowering the testosterone. And I mean, there's supplements and everything that you can use, but for the most part, I think looking at diet, looking at stress is huge. Athletes obviously put their body under stress with training. And I will admit, being an athlete, I know you know probably, you're the worst at saying, I need to take a rest day. And so also looking at maintaining, like, how to help control stress is pretty important.
Stress is extremely important for all of these. When the levels that are secreted from the placenta that lead to these other disease states that we just mentioned, what's causing those increased levels to go out of balance? It's the inflammatory factor plays a big role. Stress increases those inflammatory factors. So you can see the chain of events that's happening. So if someone comes into your pharmacy, say, hi, I've been diagnosed with PCOS. I'm a strong athlete. I exercise daily. I have a hard time taking a day off, right? What's our next step in saying, I want to be pregnant? What can I do to help my chances?
Yeah. So first is looking at, we try and get labs, seeing, you know, asking the doctor. Thankfully, I come from a small community and been in the community for 15 years. So I have a good relationship with a lot of the local doctors, especially because we do hormones at our pharmacy too. So, and having a conversation, hey, this is what's going on. This is what she's reporting. And really looking at their whole lifestyle. So it's sitting down, having a consult with a patient about how much are we training? How are we taking rest days? Are we allowing our body time to heal? Where are our hormones at? Because for most athletes, I will tell them, your body will always, always choose survival over reproduction. So making sure that we have enough, are you eating enough? Athletes are notorious for under eating. So what are you eating? How much are you eating? How much are you resting? And looking at the whole picture, to really, I think, set up for getting pregnant, but also having a very healthy pregnancy and good habits for later in life.
A lot of the keys you just mentioned, they're for everybody. I love the no naked carbohydrates, right?
Yeah.
All of us should be having some protein and fat. Right? All the macronutrients, getting the food groups in a healthy manner and not carb loading or having carbs on their own. So that's my new favorite phrase, no naked carbohydrates. Passing that one on to my teenager.
Please do.
So that you end up, for athletes, for all of us, having that healthy balance and not creating the insulin sensitivity, not increasing the stress that could increase the hormones to go out of balance. So this is really exciting news. I think it's so important. And I think retail pharmacists, being the most accessible healthcare provider, all should be mentioning this. If they're working with women who are coming into their pharmacy and picking up other prescriptions to help them get pregnant, have this conversation.
Yeah.
Do you have these signs and symptoms of PCOS? And if you do, please talk to your provider about it.
Yeah, I feel like it's a good, I mean, obviously the biggest one you're going to see is a young woman on like metformin. Like that's the one that I see most. Maybe some of the like lectures, like some of the stimulating ones, but I see metformin is by far the one I see the most in my young PCOS athletes or PCOS patients. And so using that as a chance to like, hey, you know, have that conversation, have that connection with your patient of like, how are you doing? Like, what is your lifestyle like? What are we eating? What are some things we can do to help you? Because that medicine's going to help some, but you can do a lot more work on your own to really increase your chances. And so being able to have that conversation with a patient, I think is really, really impactful and helpful and allows you to have that connection with the patient. They will come back to you their entire life.
And have you seen a time frame from when you start working with someone who has been diagnosed with PCOS till they're able to get pregnant with your interventions?
I would say are usually within, let's go 6 months, give or take a few. It does take some time to get hormones back regulated and cycling and making those changes. I'm not a super aggressive change because I want this to be something that lasts a lifetime. So how are we, what are we changing in your mindset? What are we changing in your diet? How are we changing sleep habits? Doing too much, it's obviously, you know, it's going to, most people are just going to fall off the bandwagon in a month or two. So it's slower progressive changes that build on each other versus just this whole life overhaul that may not last. So usually about six to nine months, I usually see, either pregnancy or starting to have positive changes, as in like they have a regular menstrual cycle. They are menstruating at all for some athletes, and or their hormone levels are coming back up to normal, or their insulin levels are starting, or blood sugar levels are starting to drop.
Fantastic. It's nice when you can see on paper black and white results.
Yes.
Because a lot of what's being dealt with isn't so clear cut. No. And it's like, am I sleeping better? Is my stress decreased? And we don't have a concrete way to measure it. How often would you get your labs retested then?
So usually we go about every 6 months. I have some doctors will do it every 3 months, but most of them seem to be every 6 months. 4 to 6 months is what I usually see.
It's really exciting to know there are interventions. So if you have been diagnosed or think you have PCOS, then it's not like I'm stuck. There's a lot of things that can do. Talk to your pharmacist, talk to your doctors. And then what you brought to my attention is so fantastic, where you become pregnant, you're an athlete. There's so much you can do. Jessica, you just shared a phrase I want you to share with me that I want you to share with everybody. Pregnant women are not
fragile.
Fragile.
You are not fragile. I have seen so many amazing athletes, ones that I've worked with, ones that I've trained next to, literally still squatting, still deadlifting, still playing sports, still competing. Up until they give birth, some the day before, they're still out there and they're still pushing their bodies. And to see how healthy and how good that makes them feel their whole pregnancy is pretty amazing. And they're just, and I feel like it does help them get back a little quicker. But it gives them something to work towards. Hey, I want to get back to where I was, but it also allows them that they feel empowered the whole time.
And that's so important. It ties in with that mental health, right? You take away a passion that someone's had their whole life. What's that going to do to them? And it's not just mental, the physical, the endorphins, right? The muscle strength, all these things that lead to a healthy body, a healthy mind. Pregnancy, I love this. We're not fragile women when we're pregnant. We are still the same women. In fact, we need to stay or do our best, right, to be even healthier. Yeah. Because of that, get the best nutrients, get the best rest, and continue exercising. When you're an athlete, that's a whole nother ballpark that we need a specialist like you working with everyone to normalize that and know it is okay for the right people to keep training at that level. Yeah. Very exciting.
It's so interesting. It's so cool to see. Now it's not the time that like most people are setting world records or new PRs or anything, but they're still moving their body. They're still challenging their mind. And sometimes it is a switch in their mindset of like, what are my goals for the next 9 months? Like, what can I do a pregnant pull-up? Can I make a 5K or can I do something? They still have goals that they still challenge themselves in a different way, which is really fun to see.
And you shared, I love your example, a CrossFit pregnant mom would be like, hey, don't do this.
Yeah. I've had a couple, you know, like they're in CrossFit, you have all types of random workouts of different things. But so like pregnant women at some point, the doctor may say, hey, it's not safe now to do like handstand pushups. Or I have some weightlifting athletes that the barbell, you train a barbell path to be a certain way. And when you're pregnant, the barbell path changes. So at some point they drop the exercise because it may change their form or it may set a new pattern, but it doesn't mean that they can't do it. It just means that for right now I have to put it on pause and I can do something else.
So no handstand pushups at 39 weeks.
Probably not a good idea. Probably not.
But squats, okay.
Squat away, deadlift, press, you know, you have runners out there. I've seen many athletes running, you know, very pregnant and very feeling the best. Some of them feel amazing. Some of them are like, I'm doing it for my mental health because if I don't, I'm, you know, I feel worse. So whatever makes you motivated.
I've heard that from runners. In fact, I recently had the pleasure of meeting Allison Felix, who is outspoken about her experience with preeclampsia, and talk to me about her line of shoes, of sneakers. And this is not any affiliate money or anything from this. I just absolutely have loved what she's done because gear that you wear in athleticism while you're pregnant is not readily available for us to have. And she found that the sneakers that she was wearing, you know, when you're pregnant, your feet change. And so she has in her company, if you purchase a pair of sneakers and you're pregnant and your feet change, right, you can return them. So
I was going to say, it's so important. I mean, everything I know I've talked recently about like the number of athletes, especially looking at high school, but you can also probably expand this into pregnancy. Athletes that don't have the right sports bra even, and like they feel uncomfortable. So they stop working out because of pain or discomfort or just, you know, sheer concern of what they look like. And so even the same idea of like workout gear is expensive. Shoes are expensive. Sports bras are expensive. The idea that you can have this ability to, hey, I only need this for a short period of time. And then I can go back to wearing my clothes, my normal clothes or what I've had, or buy a new wardrobe afterwards. But just for a few months, like you may need a slightly bigger sports bra or more supportive, or, you know, shoes a size or two bigger so you can continue to work out. When you told me about this, I loved it.
It's fantastic. And I'm glad you're bringing up sports bras because that's been a challenge for me my whole life. And to the point where I actually hired a seamstress and designed my own.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I have the patterns you can't see behind me. They don't make them in my size and I have to order them from Europe. And I'm not a super athlete now. I had been a professional figure skater and actually coached. We talked about this earlier. Yes. I coached while I was pregnant. And I had so many people going, why are you putting your ice skates on? You're pregnant. And I said, what does one have to do with the other? In fact, people that know my story, I was very, very ill during my pregnancies. And the best I felt with being in the ice cold in that rink, it gave me that motivation to get out of bed. And being on the ice brought back this my sense of self, of who I am, and knowing I'm helping my students. Obviously, I was not jumping or spinning or competing during that time frame. But when you take away that ability that's made you feel so good for so long or challenged you and helped you grow, pregnancy is not the time to take that away from any one of us. I'm going to repeat the phrase, pregnant women are not fragile. We're not dolls. And we need to keep going with what makes us happy and challenges us and fulfills us as part of our whole self. And I normally start my podcast by saying, tell me about yourself. We went reverse in this one. So Jessica, how did you get into competitive weightlifting?
So I was an athlete my whole life, and I played Division I volleyball. And when I was in college, I had a horrible eating disorder because my coach made us weigh in for 4 years at 5 a.m. And it was awful. I was given antidepressant and birth control pills because my cycle wasn't normal. And as an athlete, you're told that that's perfectly normal. And so since then I worked in a compounding pharmacy and worked with like a naturopath and an herbalist on site. And the pharmacy did all one-on-one consults. And that was before pharmacy school. So when I went into pharmacy school, I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to tie like helping people and wellness and everything together. And so fast forward, during college, I started CrossFit because I needed that competitive outlet. I couldn't give up being an athlete. Like, I've been one my whole life. And so, and at that point in time, I kind of looked at, I met with a nutritionist that was trying to help me get back to eating correctly and what I should be eating. And it was through sports and really realizing I needed to fuel my body correctly in order to compete at a healthy level and be healthy. And so the science of chemistry and biochemistry and pharmacy, that kind of fueled that in sports together. And so oddly enough, I went and compete in a weight class sport now where I actually have to be weighed and like stand there with people knowing how much I weigh, and it doesn't bother me anymore. So it was kind of like this, like I was able to shed the weight of what happened in college and know that I had succeeded and I was greater and had become stronger because of what I went through. And now I enjoy and really feel like wanting to give back to younger female athletes on all the different struggles that female athletes go through. Some that I experienced, some I have not, but I have friends that have, and being able to relate on some of those health conditions.
Wow. That is an incredible story. Your story is very powerful and more people need to hear this. I already mentioned, right? I grew up as a competitive figure skater. I was a professional figure skater. And I joke when I date myself. Okay, I'll say I was a teenager. I was touring with a show that weighed us in every week. Yeah. And every single one of us, we looked at food in a very unhealthy way.
Yeah.
And we knew the days we were going to get weighed in. And I learned everything I needed to do to make that scale lower,
yeah,
right? So I could make my set weight. I think, I don't know, the professional skating world, the touring world anymore isn't what it was decades ago, but I hope it's not like that anymore. For you to be able to overcome this and now be able to get on a scale with people looking at that number and know this is where I belong, this is healthy for me, this is the best weight for me. I joke my day in when I was in that position, it was Kate Moss was the big model. The heroine look was in. Skinny was beautiful. Skinny may or may not be healthy depending on that person, right?
Correct. And so many people don't realize that your lowest weight may not be your healthiest weight as an athlete, as a person. Like, it does not mean, I tell all my athletes that I work with that it literally, the only thing a scale is your relationship to gravity. It means nothing as how you're going to perform, what you're going to do, how good of a person you are. It means nothing else. It's just your relationship with gravity at that moment. It's nothing else. And it took me a long time to like be able to do that because I was always trying to be smaller and thinner. And I am not supposed to be a skinny person. Like, my dad was a line offensive lineman. So I'm not built to be tiny. And so like everyone kept trying to make me tinier and I was fitting in with that box. And finally it would took a lot of self-reflection and being like, no, I am okay to take up a little more space. I am stronger in different ways. So yeah.
And our listeners cannot see you because this is a podcast, but I am telling everyone, Jessica is drop dead gorgeous.
Oh, like, thank you. You.
Absolutely. So if somebody wanted to find you, to work with you, where do we find you?
So I have a website, theathletespharmacist.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Jessica Beal Stahl. I'm on Instagram, JessB_RX. And yeah, all the good social media stuff.
And what is the Sports Pharmacy Network? If a pharmacist would like to join that?
Yes. So it is a group of pharmacists that are working with athletes or organizations or in the drug testing field, or someone who is interested in working with athletes to help pharmacists better have the clinical knowledge in order to apply basically the differences of working with the general population versus with athletes, along with making sure that it is clean sport. So that's a big area of sports pharmacy, is making sure that you aren't doping or have banned substances. So safety of an athlete in all aspects.
Fantastic. Yeah. So please reach out to Jessica. I have so many more questions for you. I want to hear your success stories when you work with these women, when they're super athletes, to continue their athleticism through their pregnancy. Jessica, your story about your friend who is squatting at 39 weeks and doing CrossFit and delivering the baby and had a recovery with a newborn.
Yep.
It's possible. And I want everyone to know it's possible.
It definitely is. As I say, I've seen so many athletes come back and some stronger than they were before. It doesn't mean that your career's over with. It's a new balance. It's a new challenge that you see, you know, trying to balance everything, but being able to see athletes come back stronger. And it seems to see also a new motivation and a new drive, which is really cool to see, having them there with their little ones and being a role model for their kids is an amazing, because they have them in the gym and they have them at a competition and they're there. And so being able to see the little kids look up to their parents doing what they love is like my favorite part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. We need more of you, Jessica. Thank you so much for sharing sharing that spotlight, the positivity, the way we view our bodies through athletics and pregnancy. It's beautiful. And I hope we see more of this and this spread. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you for everyone listening.